The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Good morning, friends. The Lord be with you. Would you please pray with me? Father, this is your time to come to us and wrap your arms around us and remind us that we are loved, much loved, that you delight in us and that you have us in your hands and in your future in Jesus. So, Lord, reveal to us today what that means for us and how to live that out in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's our theme for today? He's got the whole world in his hands, a wonderful world of God's creation. And I've got a little discussion question I'd like you to explore for a couple of minutes. And you young people, I want you to do this too. What in God's creation do you find most interesting? It could be a place, it could be a tree or a plant, it could be a creature or an animal. For me, I think one of the things that really amazes me is the echidna. I mean, this thing is just spiky. You can't get anywhere near it. But it's really, really cool because if you come across one when you're out bushwalking and they get a bit spooked out, what does the echidna do? He just goes straight down into the ground. It's phenomenal. And no predators can get onto him. So that's one of the ones I like. You share what you like in creation, a creature or a place, some part of God's creation. I want you young people to talk about this too. Is there a special animal? Is there an animal that you like in the world? You have a... Okay, you can tell me a bit about, and why?
We've got a whole list here.
A whole list. Okay. Our young people, the favourite, some of the favourite things of our young persons, a rabbit. A rabbit, they can run really, really fast and they can breed like rabbits. And they're cute. A parakeet, why is a parakeet? Who said the parakeet? It's because it's colourful or it makes a squawk? Colourful. The horse. The horse is amazing too because it can run really fast and it will charge into battle. The hippo. Who chose the hippo? Why did you like the hippo, Jackson? It's big. Cats. Oh, that's my most unfavourite. Sorry. If you're a cat lover, my sincere apologies. Butterflies. Well, who doesn't like butterflies? Giraffes. Who chose the giraffe? Why do you like giraffes? Long neck and can reach. And meerkats. Oh, yes, they're really cute too, aren't they? Fantastic. Today we're looking at God the Father as the Creator. And in the Apostles' Creed, how does it go? I believe in... Maker of... Maker in heaven and earth. So get this. The God that created everything that we can see and smell and feel and touch and taste and hear. The God who makes everything for us to experience and enjoy. This God we call Father. That's my dad. Amazing. A couple of things I think flow out of this article which I think are really useful for us to consider. First is this. Who does the world and everything in it then rightly belong to? God Almighty. God created it. It is rightfully His. And there's a verse in Psalm 24, which I only came across in my mid-20s, and it changed the way I think about things. The earth is the Lord's. Keep going. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker and owner of heaven and earth. Isn't that true? Because you came to the world naked, and what are you going to leave the world with? Nothing. They might dress you up in a suit, but all the stuff that you call yours, it's only yours to use for a little time. It actually belongs to God Almighty. And you will use all this stuff for some time, and then when you die, it'll get passed on to someone else. We can't take any of it with us. And I think when you have that sort of posture, you realise, oh, God gives me this stuff to use, allows me to use it for a time, and I'm going to enjoy it, I'm going to thank God for it, and I'm going to share the richness of my blessings with those in need. Yes? Second thing, about God being the maker, we acknowledge that our Heavenly Father didn't just bango zip and create the world and then turn his back on it and leave it like a disinterested clockmaker. We believe that God actually continues to care for his world, yes? And when you think about this planet, I mean, it's remarkable because the Hubble telescope through it, with the Hubble telescope, we can look a long way out into space, millions of light years, we can look at galaxies right out there, and we can look at constellations of stars, we can look at the planets. But you know what? This little speck in the universe is a very privileged space because it is the only planet that we know of in our universe that can sustain human life. God created it in such a way that he looks after us through this spaceship floating in the middle of nowhere. We are treasured. We are loved. So we could say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker and owner and sustainer of heaven and earth. I think it's really healthy to remember those things. Let's go back to our earth. Do you know what the first verse of the Bible says? In the beginning, God created it. And how did God create? He spoke, let there be light. Bang. There's light. Let the light and darkness be separated. Let there be skies and land and oceans. And then God fills those domains with living creatures. And when God looks at what he created, he saw that it was good. It's good. But God wasn't finished. And when I read through Genesis 1, I think God is putting all that together like an expectant parent getting the nursery ready for the kids to come along. Because then what does he do? He creates human beings. And what's distinct about human beings? Let us make human beings in our image. Do you think about what it means to be made in God's image? It's something that sets us apart from the rest of creation. In some ways, because we share in the image of God, in some ways we are like God even though we are not gods. In what ways are we like God? Well, I think we can communicate. We can think about things. We can make decisions. We know the difference between right and wrong. We can reflect on the past and dream and plan in the future. We can't create things from nothing, but we can take things that exist and we can invent new things. And we can change the stuff around into new forms. I think about medicine, some of the things they invent in medicine. God gives people the brains and all that to work that out. I mean, they put stuff in your system that targets cancer cells and nukes them. I mean, that's amazing. We can do that because we're made in the image of God. And God blessed Adam and Eve and he told them, go and multiply and have babies, lots of them, and look after the world I made. And when God saw then that everything he'd made, he said it was not just good, but very good. It's very good. It's exactly like I planned it to be. It's a perfect masterpiece created with all my love. Is that the way the world is today? Well, yes and no. In Genesis 3, we find out why this world is not quite the way it once was. Human beings made choices and continue to make choices. Make choices to turn our back on the God of light and love and life. And when we turn away from that God, where do we find ourselves? In darkness and death and despair. And those consequences have kept rippling down like a pebble in a pond into our present. We like to be independent, to be in control, to be masters. We can live for months or years or decades without connecting to God at all. Thing is that when we are no longer connecting with the God that we're created to know, we end up like orphans. An orphan doesn't know who I am. I don't, as an orphan, I don't know who I belong to, whose I am. When we don't know the living God, we are unable to work out our purpose in life or our destiny after death. And without connection to the God that we're created for, we end up anxious and insecure and afraid and worried and wondering. And then we go on to blame and hurt others. We fight and fall out. We say hurtful things. Conflicts can end up in world wars. There are natural disasters and human-made disasters. We have accidents and injuries. We experience sickness and disease and death. And this brokenness, it impacts every single one of us, yes? I mean, everybody hurts sometime. But the good news is that God didn't just wipe his hands and say, oh, you've made your bed, you go and lie in it. No, God kept reaching out to do something about it. And we read about this in our Psalm 145. Can we have the next slide up? The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. One of the key words in those verses is compassion. The Hebrew root word for this is rechem, not rechem, but rechem, which is actually the word for womb. It's the empathy and hurt that a mother feels deep within for a broken and hurting child. And this is the heart of God for his broken and hurting creation and everyone in it. Luke 15, the story of the father looking out for this lost prodigal son. And when he sees the son in the distance, he said he was filled with compassion. And what did he do? He runs. He makes a fool of himself in the eyes of the community that he might embrace his son and welcome this lost son home, rejoicing that he is now safe and sound. This is the God that we meet and know through Jesus, who shows us that God keeps looking out for us and looking after us. So what are some ways that God continues to look after us? Look, young ones, what are some ways God looks after us? And you people too. What are some ways God looks after us? How does God look after us? He gives us a home and shelter. What else?
He gives us water.
He gives us water. He gives us food. Fantastic. I've got some food up here, guys. What did you guys have for breakfast this morning? Did any of you have any of this stuff? Cornflakes? Nutri-Grain? What about toast?
Yay!
Yeah, all right. And did you have jam on toast? No? Did any of you have porridge? Some had porridge, all right. And you probably had milk. Now, let me ask you, where does this stuff come from? All right, good answer. Jesus is always the answer somehow. Okay, your parents go to the shop and buy this stuff for you to have breakfast, but the stuff inside the package, that grows in a field somewhere, a farmer grows it, then they harvest it and process it, and you get to eat it for breakfast. Milk, where does milk come from? It comes from a cow. It doesn't come from a carton. So God sends the rain and the sunshine to make grass grow. The cows eat it. And the cows turn it into milk for us and cheese and yogurt and brie cheeses and all sorts of nice cheeses. Love cheeses. He's my hero. And my dad jokes are sneaking out. I'm sorry. But it opens up this thing in Psalm 145, how God provides for all his creatures, not just humans, but every creature. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. People tell me, or you can read places, that there's actually enough food in the world to feed everyone. Now my question now is, Why are there still people hungry? Why is the soul? Greed. Okay, so we want to keep stuff for ourselves and not share. Famine. There's some places in the world where they just can't grow food or get access to food. Or there are governments that instead of getting food to people, buy weapons to fight wars with. What else? We stockpile poverty. Yes, poverty. And we stockpile all this food and resources and we don't actually share it where it's most needed. Maybe because we don't trust that God will provide for us. My application point here is a question. Do you assume that the blessings of your life come through hard work and planning and effort? A lot of people think that. And I used to think that too. But then there are a few questions that sort of lift the lid on that. Who gave you the gifts and abilities to do the things you are good at? Where did they come from? The hand of God, the way He's created you. Who gave you the health to work hard in season and out season? Who provided the education and opened the doors of opportunities for you to do well in your enterprise or work or sport or interest? It all comes to the creative hand of God, doesn't it? And Moses warned the people of Israel as they made their way into the promised land to be careful when they become prosperous, because what tends to happen? We think we are masters of our destiny and we don't need God anymore. And Moses says this, "You may say to yourself, my power and strength of the hands have produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God. For it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your ancestors as it is today." God's promise of covenant was to bless His people as they remain faithful. But we dare not let the blessings take His place. The psalmist says, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord." Question, how often do you tell others and praise God for His providence in your life? You know, at mealtimes when we thank God for our food, I think that's important because we're acknowledging that it comes from the good hand of God. And when we don't actually give thanks, what in effect are we saying? I got this myself, or we got this ourselves. I think as we tell our stories of God's providence, it helps the next generations to realize, every good thing we have comes from the hand of God. Amen? The second thing from this psalm is that the Lord hears and helps the struggling. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The very next psalm is Psalm 146, and it gives some examples of how God helps us. Let's read this together. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but He frustrates the ways of the wicked. Friends, when you read that and listen to those words, who does it point to? Who does it remind you of? Jesus, I think. Jesus is the answer. This was Jesus' ministry. And hopefully, this is Jesus' ministry also continuing through the people of the Good Shepherd community, yes? Huh? We are part of His ministry of God's goodness to His world. Application. Has there been a time in your life where you've been stuck between a rock and a hard place? Perhaps it's been an accident or a diagnosis or a death of someone close to you, or some sort of trauma, and you've just shook your head and going, oh, I don't know what the way forward is here. I can't make sense of this. I don't know what to do. And perhaps in desperation you've cried out, Father God, I don't know what to do here. I'm overwhelmed. Please help me. Hands up if you've ever prayed a prayer like that. And what happened? God heard you and helped you and has brought you to where you are now. And I think it's really healthy for us to remember those times in desperation where God was the only person to turn to and he brought us through. And as we reflect on those times and seasons and we remember God's promises for us today, it infuses us again with comfort and hope. And we can rest in God's arms and we can go, I'm God's loved and forgiven child. God's greater than my struggles. My Father has got me in his arms and he's got me and this situation covered. Amen? And just to nestle back into those arms and let him wrap his arms around you and find refuge in his unfailing love. Jesus shows us what this looks like. He doesn't just say, don't worry. I look at the ministry of Jesus and he always seems calm. He always seems at peace. Jesus didn't just talk about it, he lived it. And the only time I see Jesus riddled with worry and anxiety is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what's Jesus doing? He's praying, Father, if there's some other way, if there's some other way that this can get done without me suffering, but your will be done. And as the soldiers come to arrest him, Jesus goes, look, here comes my betrayer, and he just gets on with it. And as he's on the cross dying, his final prayer is, Father, into your hands. Into your hands I put my spirit. Jesus trusted his Father to raise him from death, even though it had never, ever happened before. That's the trust that Jesus displayed. And what happened? On the third day, his Father raised him to life again. And the Father who raised Jesus from death to life will also raise you and me to life forever in Christ Jesus. Yes? And so the Father who raised Jesus from the dead has also got you in his hands along with his world. Your heavenly Father holds you and your future, and he's got it sorted because your destiny is in heaven with Christ. Our heavenly Father delights in you. He yearns for you to do life with him, and he has given everything in his power that you can be the fulfillment of his restoration plan when he makes all things new again in Christ Jesus. Amen. May God grant this to us all. Amen. I'd invite you to stand now and we're going to confess the Apostles' Creed and we're going to talk about what it means for us. Let's go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean for us? I believe that God has created me and everything that exists. God has given me my body and soul, my mind and senses, and all my abilities, and still takes care of them. God also gives me everything I need from day to day, things like food, clothes, home and family, work and money. God protects me from danger and keeps me safe when I am in trouble. God does all this only because he is my kind and loving Father. I certainly do not deserve it. All I can do is thank, praise, serve and obey God. This is certainly true. We've confessed it, let's sing it. He's got the whole world in his hands.